that the production can be divided in three periods. The first goes to Aroldo, Stifelio, let's say, until Rigoletto. And this is a period where Verdi looks for his identity, for his personality. He develops his language. Then the second period is of a complete maturity. And to this period belong, first of all, Rigoletto, then Trovatore, and then Traviata. This is the core of Verdi's production. Then comes the third period, and in this period Verdi develops his languages, and he looks for new ways of writing music, of making theater. In my opinion, the last Verdi is the most interesting, the best. But I must be sincere that I really feel that the true Verdi, the most Italian Verdi that you can find, is especially Trovatore, even more than Rigoletto and then Traviata.
Okay, let's do it all together once, guys. Ready? And up towards up. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 1, 2, 3. That's correct. 5, 6, 7, 8. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Back and set.
I think that there are several themes within the opera itself.
Stand by for Cairo 3. Cairo 3, go. Stand by 4. Cairo 4, go.
I suppose that the strongest line in it is the idea of revenge. Azucena is told by her mother to avenge her mother's death.
Cairo 5, go.
So she pursues this idea of vengeance throughout the piece, as does indeed virtually everybody else. And her secret weapon is what is everybody believes ostensibly to be her son, Manrico, who is in fact the Count di Luna, her mortal enemy's brother in actuality. What Verdi does with this is he takes the idea of revenge and says that ultimately it is utterly self-defeating. For example, at the end, Azucena, to achieve this vendetta, to close this vendetta, to pay di Luna's father, she causes the thing that she most loves, which is Manrico, to be destroyed. And I think that that's what Verdi's after. I mean, that if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And yeah, a message for our times, possibly. I feel that the opera very much is like going, is seeing episodes from a film. And I personally don't think, I don't find the plots absurd. I mean, the fact that Azucena throws the wrong child into the fire, I think if you read anything about any kind of war situation, equally, dare I say, absurd things happen. I mean, appalling things happen when people are put under pressure. And I don't find that any more, I don't find the plot of Trovatore any more absurd than, let's say, the plot of Hamlet, which, after all, is dependent upon, you know, the supernatural. For me, it's... I don't find it absurd at all. Well, it's the first time I've worked with Maestro Müller, and it's a huge pleasure. I've had friends who've worked with him before. The American director Christopher Harlan's worked with him and told me what a pleasure it was going to be. And indeed it is. Hugely supportive, very interested. I mean, we collaborate, you know, we talk about dynamics and tempi a little bit, and, you know, where he can, he does allow, you know, changes to, you know, possibly the way he's done it before, but hugely rewarding and a sweet, sweet man.
The moment I am doing, I am, let's use the word recreating, I like it very much, recreating that music, I don't think anymore to Verdi. I myself am the musician, the composer of this opera. Don't try to understand me. Eh? Okay, but in that moment, the feelings are mine. And in the same time, I try to understand the feelings and the capacity of the singers I'm working with. And for this reason, I try to get the best from each of them. I like very much to say that when I conduct a singer, I am singing with their voices. The great quality of Verdi is to be able to find for every specific personage the proper music, the perfect music, because the music for Leonora is extremely elegant, extremely poetic, extremely feminine.
Sicuramente il lato più interessante per me della Leonora.
It's really fascinating when Leonora gets her maturity and she gets really strong and goes against rules.
Le convenzioni. E quindi va contro quello che
sarebbe. And I really like when a woman gets really strong and independent and goes against everything.
La donna rompe un po' le regole del gioco.
What really get me close to Leonora is that even though I'm not like younger through the years, I feel like I'm idealistic, like she is.
Incredibilmente trovo sempre un grande.
The best part is when I'm dying, and Verdi is really special way of having people dying. It's really musical, poetical, and really lyrical. And that's why I really like it every time I have to do this part.
Bellissima.
The music for Azucena, Azucena comes from the past, and the songs of Azucena are almost old folk songs.
Azucena is one of those great roles for the dramatic mezzo. Physical, vulnerable, strong, manipulative. There's so many sides to her that it's so necessary for all of us to see. And I hope that I can portray all of those sides of her. I hate when people say, she's crazy and she's, you know, wacky and this kind of thing. I really believe in order for people to really believe her character, you have to bring this human quality to her and this human side and all of these layers that show what really what kind of character she is. This particular production, there are huge physical challenges. Carting on Manrico in a cart, you know, that's a difficult thing. But I'm not opposed to it because I really believe in that staging. I find it very realistic. It really is a great role, and as Verdi wanted to have it, but he didn't, he really should have called this opera Azucena.
Manrico is the typical romantic tenor. He has extremely strong warrior pages, the famous Di quella pira, and all the concertati, beautiful lines.
Il trovatore, io prego.
Bueno, ¿qué pienso de Manrico?
Manrico is the most important role for me. It's the one that I've sung the most, along with Cavaradossi in Tosca and Calaf in Turandot.
Y el Cavaradossi de Tosca.
Un canal trovatore.
La personalidad de Manrico es una personalidad para mí.
I would describe Manrico as a very typical Spanish, a warrior. And at the same time, a very romantic man.
Pero y romántico al mismo tiempo.
It's a difficult role to play because one has to keep in mind that he is about 18 years old, and it's impossible to sing it when a singer is 18 years old. But that happens a lot with many characters in the operas.
The baritone, which is not that bad, is not the villain of the opera, has wonderful lines, and Verdi treats him very nicely. You know, Verdi used to have a baritone voice, so every baritone in Verdi is always a noble man that is in a situation where he is not lucky because the soprano loves the tenor. But he always stays a very noble man.
This trilogy, Rigoletto, Trovatore, and Traviata, who Verdi composed in 2 years, he was very, very concerned about the woman, the position of the woman in the society. And we see in all the three opera, Gilda, Leonora here, and Violetta later in Traviata, they will die. Maybe it's a coincidence, but this is a kind of fighting with a society which accept not their what they do. And here, I think the society is the Count of Luna.
Mm-hmm.
not a villain. It's not a villain. It's a noble, proud person. This Trovatore, it's a new type of bel canto which Verdi formatted. Mm-hmm. So it's a romantic bel canto, which added more violence than the previous bel canto. So it's more heroic and more violent, more film. And unfortunately, after this opera, we'll see a development of the violent scenarios in the opera.
Okay.
No.
And even the chorus is treated in a very modern way, because the chorus participates as a personage. Sometimes the chorus has a line in unison, not in a choral accord. He already used it in Nabucco, of course, Va Pensiero, but this is just an episode. Here he is really part of the tragedy, part of the show.
One that hits me the most is probably, along with the Anvil Chorus, the most famous piece of music in it, which is the Miserere, where Verdi interrupts the standard Italian opera structure of an aria followed by a cabaletta by putting into the middle of it this extended scene for an offstage chorus praying for the dead. And it's always had an immense impact for me, and I think it was one of the things that, I mean, the way that we do it is one of the things that primarily, I suppose, influenced the way we do it, is that I wanted to find a way of staging the Miserere that wasn't just one character on stage with everything else happening off stage, but was in some kind of way a consummation of everything that had gone before. And I suppose one of my first things, as I said, you know, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. My first image for the show, in a way, was this this field of swords. And I wanted that to have some kind of
conclusion, which we get, I think, with, you know, the outcome of that Field of Swords with the Miserere.
Miserere, direi, bontà divina, creda non sia dell'infernal sonno.
Shakespeare says in The Merchant of Venice, at the very end, he describes seeing the light inside Portia's house in the distance, like a good deed in a naughty world. And I think with Leonora, you have this sense at the end of the piece of this totally nihilistic world with everybody being destroyed and everything else. And there's one good deed in it where Leonora does manage to save, or tries to save, the troubadour. And in a sense, that kind of redeems everything that's gone before. As I say, message for our times.
Thank you.